Hi, my name is Andrew Wong, and today I'll be talking about sweet storage SLOs with frosting. This is joint work done with Shivram Venkataraman, Sarah Alspa, and Professors Jan Stoika and Randy Katz in the AMP lab at UC Berkeley. So we want to start off today by talking about the state of storage systems in the data center today. So typically you have these different kinds of workloads, each with their own performance requirement. So you might have some kind of data analyst making these exploratory drill-down queries, these batch analytics jobs, things like MapReduce, as well as this user-driven interactive web serving workload. Typically, each of these different classes of applications goes to its own separate storage system. So your data analyst is talking to HBase, for instance. Your batch analytics are being done on HDFS. And finally, your interactive web serving traffic is going to something like MySQL. So each one has its own separate storage system. But there are a bunch of issues when you have this kind of segregated storage systems, right? Let's say that we're Facebook, for instance, and we're trying to do some kind of friends-of-friends analysis. All of our data is going to start off in our MySQL cluster, but we might want to do this analysis in our HDFS cluster with MapReduce. So how do we do this? We actually have to copy from MySQL over to HDFS, get the data in there, then do our analysis and copy back, right? And then finally, we actually have our fresh new friends-of-friends data available for our users in MySQL. This is a real problem for businesses because it really delays the analytics cycle, the time it takes for your freshest data to sort of get processed and then used for an actual business purpose back to the front end. These big copy jobs are actually a real problem to schedule also, because typically you have to wait for a period of low load before you can do these bulk data transfers, meaning your actual analytics feedback loop can be on the order of a day. Pretty bad. But there are more problems too, right? Let's think about what happens if like your web page is slashed on, and suddenly your traffic on your MySQL cluster grows like crazy, and your MySQL cluster is now falling over. Even if you have the ability to turn down the amount of work you're sending to your HDFS or HBase clusters, it doesn't really help you, right? Because your traffic is going to MySQL, and there's no single shared storage resource here. So what you have to do is basically increase the size of your MySQL cluster to meet that peak demand. And this is true for each of your separate clusters. Each one has to be provisioned separately for their own individual peak load, contributing to over-provisioning and underutilization of the cluster. So let's recap a little bit. Typically today, we have separate storage systems, one for each type of workload. And there are all these downsides, right? This increased reaction time for analytics, increased provisioning costs, reduced utilization. And then like, there's all these other concerns with like duplication of data and data management concerns from operating these separate different clusters. So what do we really want from this? Ideally, we just have one single storage system shared by all these different types of applications. But what happens when we actually try and do that? Let's try sending all three of our workloads from before to a single unified storage layer. What's our performance going to be like, though, for each of our workloads, namely the latency-sensitive workload? It's going to be disastrous, quite frankly. And this is because the storage layers are typically not aware of each application's SLO, its performance requirement. So we quantified this as one of the first things we did, just running two clients here. The first is the baseline is, So the thing we're graphing here is the latency for a front-end client making a request to HBase. And the bottom line is the baseline latency where we're not running any other workload. We're running just the front-end client against HBase. And the latency is around 100 milliseconds. Then if you also concurrently run a MapReduce job, you see latency jumps up to something like 400 milliseconds, which is almost certainly a violation of the performance requirement for your latency-sensitive job. So this is an example of, again, how storage systems are not aware of the performance requirements of the different kinds of workloads who are sharing the system, and you get poor performance. I also want to point out here that we're measuring the 99th percentile latency, which I think is actually the metric of merit for these types of workloads. You really have to measure at the tail. This is because when you have these web serving requests come in, you might need to make multiple requests to the storage system to actually satisfy that single page load. And this means the more requests you're making, the higher the chance is you're going to hit that one very slow request, which might bound your entire end-to-end request processing latency. And this is especially important for complex pages. I mean, think about all the different kinds of elements there are in a page like your Facebook newsfeed. You have these status updates, these profile pictures, or friend requests. Each one of these different elements might require its own request to the storage system. And again, if even one of these requests is slow, it could bound your entire page load time. So again, you have to really care about the tail latency when you're doing these kinds of measurements. So let's think about what the problem we have in front of us then. We want to try and multiplex these front-end and batch workloads with different performance requirements onto a single storage system. But we also need to make sure that our 99th percentile latency guarantees are met for front-end storage system operations. So existing solutions typically have this mismatch between what applications want and a storage system provides, in that application programmers think about their storage operations in terms of things like key value or row operations, while storage systems are typically thinking about disks. This means when it comes time to actually tune your performance, you have to tune these storage system level parameters, things like megabytes per second or IOPS, which do not translate directly to, again, key value or row operations. Also, typically, when it comes to latency, these systems provide guarantees on average latency rather than the high percentile, the 99th, where it's really important. So the goals for Frosting is to try and address some of these concerns. First of all, enable a single shared storage layer for these different types of workloads, and then also allow application programmers to specify the requirements at a very high level in terms of high-level service-level objectives, SLOs. So you can just say something like, my gets to HBase will finish in 200 milliseconds, 99% of the time, and the system will take care of that for you automatically without manually tuning internal parameters of the system. So let's look at the system we're dealing here, which is HBase. HBase is kind of like Bigtable, and it's this distributed column store, which lets you do get, put, and scan operations on the rows and columns in a table. So underneath, HBase uses HDFS, which is kind of like GFS, for actually storing the data. HDFS is this distributed file system that allows you to append data to files. And it takes care of things like application fault tolerance for you. And then, of course, underneath HDFS, you have the actual operating system, managing your hardware devices, like the disk. So let's think of, so this is actually a pretty clean architecture. I think it's good software engineering, right? You have this clear separation of concerns between each layer of your storage system. But what comes down to it, requests have to traverse this entire stack to actually get data returned to the client. So when a client request comes in, HBase has to parse and deserialize this request, and then look up in some kind of in-memory index which file it should actually read from HDFS to actually return back to the client. So let's say we're doing some kind of scan operation. HBase finds the first row for that scan and issues a read request for at some offset in some file for some number of bytes to HDFS. HDFS then tries to read from disk, and it might need to do this multiple times if it's asking for a really big I/O, right? Say megabytes, for instance. HBase then returns this data back to HBase, which then has to decompress, deserialize, parse it. And then perhaps HBase has decided that, you know, that first I/O I issued doesn't meet the scan predicate that I had for my scan. So let's do another read from HDFS. Again, another series of reads from OS, and it comes back. Now HBase finally has all of its data, and it can finally turn back its response to the client. So anyone who's actually dealt extensively with either HBase or Bigtable will tell you that this layered architecture is really terrible for trying to debug latency. So if you have poor latency, where in this stack is it happening, right? There's a lot of code here making a lot of complex interactions. So it's difficult to sort of come at from first principles. So the Frosting took a very simple approach for our first try. We just insert a Frosting scheduling layer at the very top level at HBase, which intercepts all the client requests coming in and performs some kind of proportional share scheduling amongst the different HBase clients. This allows us to sort of granularly change the allocation of our different clients who are all sharing the same storage system. Then the question becomes, how do you set the proportional shares for each client to make sure we meet their high-level performance goals? And the answer there is we want to dynamically adjust the SLOs based on... Is that what it is? Okay, hopefully that works. So the idea here is you want to actually dynamically adjust the shares of each client to sort of translate the high-level SLOs into these proportional share parameters at Frosting. So we do this with sort of a three-stage feedback loop, which starts with measuring the performance of each client. So we want to actually measure the end-to-end latency or throughput of the clients interacting with HBase. And then we want to pass these measurements off to an allocation optimizer. The allocation optimizer will compare the measured performance versus the performance goal, the SLO, and then if, you know, based on how this compares, you want to either increase or decrease each client's allocation to sort of meet their SLOs. Then after the allocation optimizer has generated a new set of shares, it passes it off to the Frosting scheduler, which then will hopefully affect the performance in some way. And you can sort of see how this feedback loop will tick on over time to enforce SLOs. So our evaluation was on a small H-based cluster on EC2 using C1 extra large nodes with 8 CPU cores and 4 local disks. And we're running a constant workload generated by 2 YCSB clients. The first one is simulating this front-end workload, which is latency sensitive and it's making 1 row gets. And this is a high priority client. The second is a bash client, so simulating a MapReduce workload. It's making these big 500 row scans over our rows and has a low priority. This means that we're basically going to be prioritizing the request from our front end latency, over our batch throughput. The first thing I want to show is just how proportional share does as a knob for changing the latency and throughput of our two different clients. So here we're comparing two frosting settings of 90.10, 99.1, meaning a share of 90 for the front end, a share of 10 for the batch, and so on, versus the default FIFO policy provided by HBase, where all requests from both the batch and the front end go into the same FIFO queue, as well as a baseline where you're running just the front end workload. So we see that the baseline latency is somewhere around 100 milliseconds at the 99th percentile, and that the default FIFO policy provided by HBase is something like around 150, but with very high variance. Like, so we ran each of these workloads 10 times and took the average 99th percentile and put on standard deviation error bars as well. So the FIFO, again, is about 150 milliseconds and has very poor variability in terms of the high percentile latency. Then when you turn on frosting, you see that 90.10 brings it down to maybe 120 milliseconds. And 991, even stronger policy, brings it down even further, almost the same as the baseline latency. This shows that proportional share lets us sort of move between these two different extremes in terms of scheduling pretty granularly. So this is the same runs, but from the other side, from the batch client, the batch client's throughput. We see that FIFO has the best throughput, but again, remember, it has the worst latency. And then as you increase the share given to the front end, you take away share from the batch client, so your throughput will decrease. And again, the important thing here is that you're recognizing that there's this fundamental latency versus throughput trade-off, which you can move between by adjusting your share values. So now we actually turn on the feedback loop and see how it converges to an SLO. So again, it's the same constant workload with two clients. And here we're setting 100 millisecond 99th percentile SLO for our front end client. And here we're showing both latency and front end share on the graph. So both clients start off with roughly equal share. And you see that the latency starts off pretty poor, above 200 milliseconds. But then, of course, the feedback loop recognizes this and starts increasing the share for the front end client. And you see a corresponding decrease in the front end's latency. So after about a minute, it actually converges to approximately its SLO. And you see small fluctuations in share and latency just due to the inherent noisiness in the 99th percentile latency measurements. But it does converge pretty well. So in conclusion, we've sort of shown how proportional share is a very effective knob for moving within this latency and throughput trade-off space. The feedback loop in frosting allows you to directly specify your SLOs to the storage system and have them automatically enforced over time without all this manual tuning of internal parameters of the system. We also show that this can be applied to existing storage systems like HBase with these deep software stacks, which are potentially a very hard to debug latency on. Finally, I'd like to add that this work has evolved considerably since the frosting paper. So if you're interested in this topic area, please talk to me after the session. Thanks.
We have time for clarifying questions.
So what happens to your system when, let's say, you can't meet the latency because of the underlying limitation, like you have very large IOs and the disk cannot meet it? What happens to your feedback loop in that case?
So you're talking about a situation where you have too much batch workload as well?
Yeah.
I mean, we sort of make the assumption that the system is provisioned to meet the requirements of the latency-sensitive workload. And that if we just turn off basically all the batch, we give like all the proportional share to the latency front end, it'll be able to meet its requirement.
OK.
All right. Thanks.
Any more questions? Thank you.